So how does Michaela Banerjee's case actually create this conversation about free speech for government workers?
Well, I guess it's the most recent in quite a long line of cases involving both public and private sector workers that are emerging over the last few years. And what we're seeing really in Australia is this sort of steady increase in employer control over employee speech and even other aspects of employee conduct. And that's being done through employer or business codes, policies, contracts. And generally, these are prohibiting employees from engaging in public comment that damages the reputation of the employer or is, in some instances, contrary to the values of the employer. And courts and tribunals have tended to uphold the right of employers to impose those constraints on employees.
There's obviously some confusion here in Australia at times, I guess, due to the American system and the Americanisation of much of what we do. We don't have free speech, such as it were, enshrined the way Americans do here in Australia. But do we see this situation, I guess, worsening in these in this sort of steady this steady decline?
Well, I think the opportunities for employees to engage in speech, to participate in democratic society as citizens, are increasingly being restricted. The comparison with the United States is interesting. Unlike the US, we don't have a Bill of Rights, and a lot of countries around the world have charters of rights. We don't have that in Australia, and we don't have any constitutional protection of the right to free speech. The Banerjee case was an interesting attempt to use what's called the implied right of, or the implied freedom of political communication in the Constitution, which is a very narrowly framed, minimal set of rights around communication in political discourse to try and fend off these encroachments of employers onto what employees can say and do in their own time, and even anonymously in the case of Michaela Banerjee.
Mm. In terms of private companies, I guess, well, they can contract people to do whatever they want within reason, but is there some sort of, I guess, hypocrisy inherent in this now applying to public servants and the like, given this is a government that has been pushing in recent years for more free speech or a recognition of free speech that they feel is being taken away by other sources?
I think what we're seeing in Australia is that free speech is in the eye of the beholder.
Mm.
There's not a lot of consistency about it. And the obvious comparison is the Israel Folau case, where you have conservative commentators and people from religious communities screaming loudly about the right of that employee in the Rugby Australia context to voice his controversial religious views. But where are those proponents of free speech in the case of someone like Banerjee, who articulated very vocally through 9,000 or so tweets over a short space of time, a criticism mostly of then Labor government policy on offshore detention and other aspects of immigration policy. You know, conservative commentators don't like those views and probably were quite happy with the High Court effectively shutting that down yesterday and having the ripple-on effect of shutting down the opportunity for free speech for some 2 million public servants at all levels of government in Australia.
In terms of this ripple effect, what will the precedent mean for government workers, public servants, going forward?
Well, I think what it means is an attempt to try and use the implied freedom of political communication in the Constitution to preserve some avenue for employees in the public sector to voice views that their departments might not like. That's closed off. The High Court said yesterday that that is not a private right that employees can exercise. It affects more issues going to the functioning of our political democracy generally. So if you had restrictions on political advertising, for example, that would impinge the implied right. So for public servants, the window is very small. And Justice Edelman in his decision admitted or made the comment that the code of conduct that applies in the Australian Public Service and it's being upheld by the court actually acts as a chill on political communication in Australia.
Mm. And in terms of, well, the medium that this one was made in, you mentioned, of course, the tweeting out of a great deal of criticism. Is there some sort of lack of, I guess, understanding within the law now that everybody kind of does have this public platform in the form of social media? Is there a little bit of a disconnect between the platforms that people are using now and the laws that are being enforced?
I'm starting to wonder that that might actually be exactly right. There's a lot of examination in the High Court decision of the fact that Michaela Banerjee was using an anonymous or a pseudonymous Twitter handle. Now, I guess the extent of her tweeting and the nature of what she was saying led to her identity being revealed. But essentially what the High Court said was it doesn't matter that it's anonymous. And also this comment or this observation that people may think that things are anonymous, but nothing really is anonymous in the world we live in anymore.
Mm.
It's highly likely that someone's identity will ultimately be revealed. And I guess what they were concerned to protect was their view, and this is what the APS Code of Conduct is all about, is the need to maintain an independent and impartial public service that has the confidence of the public. And they felt that this sort of very large body of tweets, highly critical, vituperative was the word they used to describe it, couldn't possibly be consistent with maintaining the integrity of independence in the public service.
Obviously a concerning one. Anthony, thanks very much. Do appreciate you unpacking this one for us a little bit.
Not a problem.